Well, we're in the New Testament this afternoon, and if you can turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10, please. Page 1005. John chapter 10. I'm going to pick it up at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep. And I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. You know, I love the Gospel of John. I love the other Gospels as well. I do love reading the Gospel of John especially. And he brings out some wonderful insights, doesn't he, into our Lord Jesus. And he brings out these wonderful statements that Jesus made, the I am statements. And these statements, each one of them, are very bold. They're very beautiful statements. And they have wonderful meaning to those who believe them. And so I want to bring us to this I am statement from Jesus here in John 10, verse 11, and he repeats it a bit later on in the passage, where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. You know, we're journeying, aren't we, through this life, through this world and the life that God has given us. But I wonder, how are you journeying? Are you just wandering aimlessly and dangerously through life, almost in a sort of lost state? If you are, you must be pretty vulnerable, maybe lonely, and maybe trapped as well. Or can you say tonight that Jesus is your good shepherd? And as your good shepherd, you know that he is protecting you. That he is a true friend to you. And that you know that wonderful freedom that he has brought in your life. Freedom to follow him. You know, in the Old Testament, God himself was the shepherd of his people, Israel. They were always his flock, and he spoke this way about them. One example, Psalm 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. So when Jesus said this statement, I am the good shepherd, it would have resonated with the people. They would have maybe had thoughts back to this verse in Psalm. It would have given them, they would have had a sort of meaning to what Jesus was saying. And again, it's another declaration, isn't it, of his deity. The sent one. Matthew 2 verse 6. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. You know, Jesus can say, I am the good shepherd. And he knew what shepherds have been like in the past. And they'd not always been good. They've been pretty bad and had done a lot of damage to the sheep, God's flock, if you like. Let me just give you an example. In Ezekiel chapter 34 and the first four verses, page 806. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled them. You know, what an awful picture of these bad shepherds. They were false. They were, if you like, self-appointed in that position. They were self-interested and they were uncaring. We haven't time, but if you read on in that Ezekiel 34, in verses 11 to 16, God says, I will shepherd my people. So Jesus came, didn't he, to be the good shepherd. He says that, I am the good shepherd. And without him coming, we are utterly helpless of ourselves, aren't we? But here he is, the promised shepherd, the model shepherd, the one who exalts a ministry that was really despised. You know, if you were a shepherd, you were really looked down upon. But Jesus exalts that ministry. Well, firstly, this afternoon, I want us to think about this. The good shepherd knows his sheep. The good shepherd knows his sheep. You know, I don't know if anyone here has been a farmer or worked on a farm, I don't know. But to me, sheep look the same. I can't tell one different from the other. But not the shepherd. They are known by the shepherd, and they're known with affection. There's that close bond. You know, in Jesus' day, the shepherd would have maybe 30 sheep, something like that. Of course, now they have many more sheep. But the shepherd would know each one. There'd be that close relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. Jesus says this, doesn't he? Verse 14, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. That speaks about relationship, doesn't it? A close relationship. And he knows us, doesn't he, by name. He knows us as individuals. And he is the one who will meet our every need. And for us as a sheep, we know Jesus, but we get to know Jesus better. That relationship is to be built upon, isn't it? And we listen to him and we follow him. We put our trust in him. Isaiah gives us a wonderful picture of a good shepherd. Isaiah 40 verse 11, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. That's wonderful, isn't it? He gently leads those who have young. You know, Jesus draws us, isn't he, close to his heart. You know, he knows his sheep perfectly. And his sheep know him and grow in that knowledge and love. Jesus knows you. The Bible says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made by God himself. And Jesus knows you. And we are made, aren't we, for a close relationship with the Good Shepherd. You know, so many people reject Jesus, don't they? And in rejecting Jesus, they're rejecting that relationship that they could have. The best of relationships. Secondly, the Good Shepherd tends and leads his sheep. The Good Shepherd tends and leads his sheep. You know, because people say that all sheep are stupid, they do what they want. Someone was telling me that he heard that one sheep jumped off a cliff. And then the next one did the same and they all followed on. And the only ones that survived who went off the cliff were those that bounced on the ones that were dead at the bottom. But this is the thing, isn't it? They need to be led. Sheep have to be shown where the good pasture is. And in Israel, that would have been something the shepherd would know and have to seek out the good pasture. If the sheep just looked for their own, they wouldn't find that good pasture and they'd die. So sheep are very reliant on others, especially their shepherds. And the good shepherd, we know, has compassion on his sheep. That compassion is from his heart, isn't it, to the sheep. It's not just idle words that we can speak. I feel sorry for you, or I've been thinking about you, when we totally forget and don't do that. But with Jesus, the compassion is very real and from his heart. It goes beyond a duty. It's out of loving kindness. Well, here the good shepherd goes ahead of the sheep. You know, nowadays the shepherd or the farmer is behind the sheep and the dogs are sort of keeping the sheep in order. But in Jesus' day, the shepherd would lead the sheep and the sheep would follow on. And he would provide the places of nourishment for them. And this good shepherd, he never loses his sheep, even though they're prone to wander. But he seeks, doesn't he, to keep them on the narrow road, that righteous path home. So the good shepherd goes before his sheep and with his sheep, and he brings them to those places of rest and refreshment. You know, I read that wonderful Psalm 23, and it is wonderful, isn't it? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. You know, this is what the Good Shepherd does with us. The Good Shepherd provides everything for your spiritual health and my spiritual health and well-being too. You know, he knows best, doesn't he? And he will lead you rightly home. You know, I love the promise. Again, this is one we talk about, this one I sort of treasure in my heart. Matthew 28:19, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. What a promise from the Good Shepherd. You know, if we're honest and where we've come from, we like our independence, don't we? We don't like to be told. We don't like to be led. But we know when we go our own way, we end up in a mess of our making, don't we? And we've all done that, no doubt, many times. You know, people in the world, they don't need Jesus. They say, you know, we're fine, you know, enjoying life, living my own life. But what they don't realize is that we're all led by someone. And it's either the devil who's leading us, and he's the father of lies, or it's the Good Shepherd who's leading us. You know, how sad on that day when Jesus returns and those who said, I don't need you, Jesus, they realize that they've been following the devil and they're going to spend eternity with the devil in hell. It's so sad. But Jesus says, doesn't he? Follow me. You know, it's a daily following, isn't it? You know, that hymn, every hour I need thee. Every hour. And then thirdly, the Good Shepherd protects and even dies for his sheep. The Good Shepherd protects and even dies for his sheep. Here in our passage, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, shows that he's not like the hired hand. The guy who's just hired to look after the sheep, you know, that he's detached from them. There's no relationship. It's a job. They're not his sheep. He's just paid to watch over them. There's no loyalty from this hired man to the owner of the sheep, or to the sheep themselves. You know, his greatest care is for himself. It's his well-being that's of most importance. And we read, didn't we, in the passage that when the wolf comes, the hired man runs away. He's gone. And the wolf attacks and scatters the sheep because they are defenseless and totally vulnerable. But not the Good Shepherd. He provides protection. And that's protection against every enemy we face. The Good Shepherd brings peace. He doesn't want us to fear, but he wants us to know peace. John 10, 27 to 30. We didn't read it, but let me just read these verses to you. Just after our passage, John 10, 27 to 30. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You know, that's wonderful there, isn't it? We're told there that Jesus holds us. No one will snatch us out of Jesus' hands. But he also, there's a double blessing there because he says, God holds us and no one can snatch us out of God's hands. That's so precious, isn't it? So this Good Shepherd, he protects. But we see in verse 11 that he also lays down his life for his sheep. And four times in our reading this afternoon, Jesus says, I lay down my life. And twice he says, I take it up again. You know, Jesus came, didn't he, as the good shepherd, ready to die for the sheep, for you and me. He willingly laid down his life and became our substitute, putting himself in the place that we should have been. But it was of his free will. And he says it very clearly, verse 18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. The Pharisees didn't take his life from Jesus. The Romans didn't take his life away. Yes, they're accountable for their part in it. But Jesus, as he says here, I laid it down of my own accord. That once for all, it's wonderful, isn't it? That Jesus would do that for us, for the joy set before him of you and I as sheep coming to him, the good shepherd. So sheep, representing lost mankind, are important to Jesus. And in salvation, he puts you and me before himself, taking our sin and our punishment upon himself. You know, he wasn't just the good shepherd of Israel, was he, either? Because he says in verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of this pen, the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. You know, praise God that the good shepherd is the good shepherd of the Gentiles too, of you and I. He's our Saviour. He's our substitute. Those who will respond to his voice, who will give their lives to him and will follow him. So as I bring the message to a close this afternoon, the Good Shepherd knows us. And it's not just a head knowledge, it's a heart knowledge that he knows us. And because he loves us and knows us, he wants to tend us and lead us to those right places. And he is always there to protect us. And he is the one who laid down his life for us, because we weren't precious in ourselves, but now we are precious in his sight. Can you say with David, who wrote Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd? You know, I hope you can tonight. I'm sure you can. And hopefully we've seen, maybe been reminded of that preciousness of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And how wonderful it is that we're part, isn't it, of one flock. You know, you here in Alsford and myself in Worthing, you know, it doesn't matter, does it? We're one flock under one shepherd. John 10 and verse 10, one verse to finish with. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's what the Good Shepherd wants for us. That's his promise to us today. Let me pray and then we'll sing our closing hymn together. Lord Jesus, we do thank you that you came into the world to save sinners like us. Lord, you came to be the good shepherd of God's people. Lord, thank you that today we can say you know each one of us here and you love us. Lord, that we're precious in your sight. And thank you, Lord, that you want to tend us, you want to lead us to good pasture. Lord, those places you want us to be at. Lord, maybe some of those places are physical places, but Lord, mostly it's spiritual places with yourself. And Lord, thank you that you've made all this possible through the cross. Lord, you open the way for us to follow you. Lord, to have our sins forgiven, to repent of those wicked things we've done before you, and Lord, to live a new life and to be of that one flock with the one shepherd. Thank you that you are the good shepherd to us, Lord, today. And thank you for speaking to us about this, reminding us and giving us more of an understanding. We give you praise. Amen.